Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 3, text number 11. Savismayat phura vilochano harin.
Savismayat phura vilochano harin.
Sutam vilokya nakadunda vistada.
Sutam vilokya
Krishna avatarotsava sambhramospriṣam.
Krishna avatarotsava sambhramospriṣam.
Muda vijebhyo yutama pluto gavam.
Muda vijebhyo yutama pluto gavam.
Saha.
He.
Vasudev.
Vasudev.
Also known as Anakadundavi. Vismaya, Utfula, Vilochanaha, his eyes being struck with wonder at the beautiful appearance of the Supreme Personality of
Godhead.
Harim,
Lord Hari,
the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sutam, as his son, Vilokya,
observing.
Anakadundavi,
Vasudev,
Tada,
at that time,
Krishnavatarutsavaha, for a festival to be observed,
because of Krishna's appearance.
Sambaramaha,
wishing to welcome
the Lord
with great respect.
Asprisa
took advantage
by distributing.
Muda
with great jubilation.
Dvijevya
to the Brahmins.
Ayutam
10,000 Abhutaha
overwhelmed,
surcharged
Gavam
cows. When Vasudev saw his extraordinary son, his eyes were struck with wonder. In transcendental jubilation, he mentally collected 10,000 cows and distributed them among the Brahmanas as a transcendental fact, the festival purport. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur analyzed the wonder of Vasudev upon seeing the extraordinary child. Vasudev was shivering with wonder to see a newborn child decorated so nicely with valuable garlands and gems. He could immediately understand that the Supreme Personality of Godhead had appeared, not as an ordinary child, but in his original, fully decorated four-handed form. The first wonder was that the Lord was not afraid to appear within the prison house of Kamsa, where Vasudev and Devaki were interned. Second, although the Lord, supreme transcendence, is all-pervading, he had appeared from the womb of Devaki. The third point of wonder, therefore, was that a child could take birth from the womb so nicely decorated. Fourth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead was Vasudev's worshipable deity, yet had taken birth as his son. For all these reasons, Vasudev was transcendentally jubilant, and he wanted to perform a festival, as Kshatriyas do, to celebrate the birth of a child. But because of his imprisonment, he was unable to do it externally, and therefore he performed the festival within his mind. This was just as good. If one cannot externally serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one can serve the Lord within one's mind. Since the activities of the mind are as good as those of the other senses, this is called a non-dual or absolute situation, Advaya Gyan. People generally perform ritualistic ceremonies for the birth of a child. Why then should Vasudev not have performed such a ceremony when the Supreme Lord appeared as his son? So Vasudev, somehow or other, was overwhelmed. Of course, it was not that only at that very moment, at the birth of Krishna, that Vasudev realized, oh, the Supreme Personality of Godhead has become my son. Already much earlier, so many miracles happened and manifested itself. First of all, it is said that Krishna appeared in the consciousness of Vasudev. And that Vasudev became completely peaceful and completely overwhelmed by the mode of goodness. And that at that time Krishna appeared in his consciousness, and then from his consciousness, from the heart, was transferred to the heart of Devaki. And then there was conception. So another immaculate conception. And we see that subsequently, even Kamsa could see it, that Devaki had never been so beautiful. As the child was in her womb, she was effulgent in a way that she had never been. And Kamsa knew it, and Vasudev knew it, that now the Supreme Lord is in her womb. But still, despite this fact that that Vasudev knew the Supreme Personality of Godhead is now within the womb of my wife, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead will appear as my son, still, when he appeared, Vasudev was overwhelmed and shocked with wonder, because he hadn't imagined that the Lord would appear in his full form, in his full four-armed form, with helmet and decorated with jewels. Somehow or other, he expected the Lord to appear like a child. But the Lord did not do so. He appeared in his four-armed form as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Of course, for many reasons. To convince Vasudev that there was no doubt that he had really appeared, and to convince the atheists that indeed Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, without a doubt. So, for so many reasons like this, he appeared fully decorated in his four-armed form. Yes, the Lord was not afraid. From the perspective of Vasudev and Devaki, to not be afraid of Kamsa is inconceivable. They were living in constant fear of Kamsa. Their whole existence was fear of Kamsa, somehow or other, and for a good reason, because Kamsa had acted in the most brutal way, and they were incarcerated in jail, in a very precarious situation. But somehow or other, in that jail, they gave birth to different children, one after the other, and Kamsa mercilessly slaughtered each of these children and killed them. And subsequently now, the eighth son had appeared. He had appeared, and indeed he was the Supreme Lord, but he was not afraid. So to Vasudev, this was also astounding. How could a child appear from the womb in such a way? And Vasudev was reflecting, the womb is not exactly a place where one appears well dressed, and coming out of the womb is usually a bit of an ordeal, and one of the first things is a bath, right? But not in this case. Krishna was not at all affected by being in the womb. It was in no way touching him. He remained transcendental, and it showed in his appearance. Therefore, it showed that his appearance was not a birth, but rather that it was an appearance in this world, and that therefore he is known as Aja, the one who doesn't take birth. Krishna never takes birth. He is Aja. He appears and disappears at his own liking, and he's never subjected to the ordinary human experience of Janati Mamunda Manusunta Namasritaha. Only fools will think that I've taken shelter of a human form. But rather, the human form is the reflection of Krishna's original form, Krishna's form in the spiritual world. And as such, Krishna's form is first, and our form is simply an imitation of Krishna's form, but subjected to the laws of material nature. And now, embodied, we are in material bodies, which are very different from the transcendental, effulgent spiritual body that Krishna had when he appeared in this world. Vasudev, then, as he was amazed to see how Krishna indeed was the Supreme Lord, how he was really transcendental, that wonder even started to come upon him on a deeper level, where he realized that actually the Lord has answered my prayers. Vasudev and Devaki had performed so many austerities. They, as Sutapa and Prishni, they, Sutapa means very great austerities. That was the name. Because they performed great austerities to somehow or other have the Supreme Personality of Godhead as their son. And in previous lives they did so. And now the fruit of all that austerity was manifesting, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead had now appeared as their son. This was indeed amazing to get that kind of reciprocation of the Lord. All of us are looking for reciprocation of the Lord, and how much reciprocation are we really experiencing? How often are we feeling strongly that Krishna is directly reciprocating? Yes, so many times, in some way or other, we feel a situation is definitely controlled by Krishna. That was Krishna's arrangement. There's no doubt about it. We feel sure. But then again, one might say, is it all happening in your mind? Are you just imagining this? You're thinking Krishna's arrangement, but is it really? But in this case, there was no question that Krishna was reciprocating, fully he was reciprocating. Now, he was visible. Vasudeva will continue by offering prayers to the newborn child. And one of the points he makes in the prayers that you are not visible to the senses. So, that is the Lord. The Lord is not visible to the senses. Ata si Krishna namadi navavat krayam indriye sevam mukhe jivado svayam nimaspurati ata. Krishna is not perceivable through the mundane senses. One cannot see him. But now he was visible. Now he was visible. Of course, in a way, still not visible to the mundane senses. That is explained later when Krishna was grown up and leaving for Mathura. At that time, he entered into the wrestling arena, and different people saw Krishna entering at that time, and they all perceived him in a different way. It is said that the yogis, there were yogis there, they also go to wrestling arenas. So yogis were there, and they saw Paramatma has come. And they saw him with four arms and everything, Paramatma. The residents of Vrindavan, they saw him as like, oh, here's Krishna from our village. The ladies of Mathura, they saw Kamadev, Cupid personified, and they just became totally overwhelmed. The wrestlers saw him like a thunderbolt, like a lightning streak or a thunderbolt, and they saw him as death personified. They saw him as very, very powerful, and they felt fear, although they were much bigger, as we discussed yesterday. So in this way, the point is everyone saw Krishna different. And it said those whose heart was like stone saw him like stone. And that's for those who see the deity like stone. So in this way, even although Krishna was visible to the eyes, he was not visible to the consciousness. Because Atmavan Manyate Jagat, we are perceiving this entire universe through the filters of our consciousness. And that colors everything. So in this way, even when Krishna appears as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, not everyone can see him in that way. And not everyone could see an ego. It is said that some of the Yadus were seeing Krishna as the Paramatma. It's interesting, Krishna appears in their family, and yet they don't know that they're dealing with Govindam Adipurusham. They're seeing him as an expansion of the Supreme Lord, as Paramatma. So some of the Yadus, although they knew that Krishna was the Supreme Lord, they didn't have the full understanding that he was Swayam Bhagavan Krishna, the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. So they didn't have the full understanding of Srimad Bhagavatam. Iti chamsa kalapunsa Krishna Subhagavan Swayam Indrari Vyakalam Lokam Nidayanti Yuge Yuge. It is said that Srila Jiva Goswami explains that this verse, Iti chamsa kalapunsa Krishna Subhagavan Swayam, is the Paribhasa Sutra. It is the one verse that sheds light to the entire Srimad Bhagavatam. So one must understand the Bhagavatam through this particular verse. And the verse means, is explaining that there are so many incarnations that appear. Amsas, plenary portions of the Lord. That means plenary, they have the full potency of the Lord. And then Kala, portions of plenary portions of the Lord. They are known as empowered with the Shakti of the Lord. They are the Shakti Avesh avatars, or those appearances of the Lord that are invested with the transcendental power of the Lord. And in that way, they also become like the Lord. Like Vyasadeva is such a personality. And in this way, the Lord appears in many ways. Even jivas, such as Vyasadeva, can become divine instruments of the Lord and divinely empowered and are counting as avatars or incarnations of the Lord, although they're jivas. The amsas are Vishnu Tattva. But then there is Krishna, and he is Swayam Bhagavan. He is the original, self-same, Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is very interesting. Srila Prabhupada translated that Krishna Stu Bhagavan Swayam as Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that is very important. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Godhead is something awkward, actually. We may understand, but if we speak to the world, it's rarely understood. One would need a dictionary to understand Godhead. But Godhead is referring to the Lord in many manifestations. The Lord appears in so many manifestations. And in all these manifestations, he may appear in Brahmeti Paramatmeti, Bhagavaniti Satchate. He may appear as Brahman, as the all-pervading energy. He may appear as Paramatma. And he appears as Bhagavan. And even as Bhagavan, he appears in so many forms. Advaitam, Achyutam, Anadim, Anantarupam, Anantarupam, in so many unlimited forms. And in each of these forms, He is the personality of Godhead. He is part of Godhead. But in the form of Krishna, he is truly the supreme personality of Godhead. He is the original supreme personality of Godhead, Govinda Adipurusham, the Adipurusham, the original, from whom so many other forms emanate. Dipaichirevihidasankramabhibhechirvibhayate vivitahenu samana dharma yastadikivichavishnutayurvibhati Govinda Adipurusham tamam bhajami. As from one candle, so many others can be lit. Yet Krishna is the original supreme personality of Godhead. And although all the various incarnations of the Lord all have the qualities of the Lord, Krishna has unique qualities. Krishna has four unique qualities that are not found in any of the other manifestations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Only Krishna has that. Venu Madhurya, he plays on his flute in a most wonderful way. By which he can attract all the living beings. Rupa Madhurya, he has a form like no one else has. Venu Madhurya, Rupa Madhurya. Then Prema Madhurya, he is showing loving pastimes with his associates in ways that are not seen by any other incarnation. Because in this incarnation, Krishna appears as a cowherd boy. And that means he becomes very intimate. He appears in a very intimate way. Of course, we see him. First he appears with four arms in Mathura, in the prison. But then, somehow or other, Vasudev carries Krishna across the river Yamuna to bring him into safety. First, upon the request of his mother, who somehow or other was so afraid of Kamsa, Devaki, she was so afraid of Kamsa that she could only think that Kamsa will come and will kill this child. How is it possible? Yeah. But she could not see that. And therefore she asked that the child, the Vishnu form would now take the form of a child and thus would be hidden, and that it wouldn't be so obvious that here was the Supreme Lord. And then Vasudev carried that child across the Yamuna to Vrindavan. We find in the writings of the Acharyas, in the Laghu Bhagavatamrita, in the Gopal Champu, we find descriptions that Yasoda also gave birth exactly at the same time. Somehow or other, Yasoda was extremely exhausted from childbirth. She was so exhausted that she wasn't fully aware of what child she gave birth to. So she didn't realize that she gave birth to twins. It is described that she gave birth to twins, a boy and a girl. When Vasudev came and brought Krishna from Mathura, then Vasudev, he exchanged the boys. Somehow or other, he brought the boy from Mathura, and what happened was these two merged. They became one. Then Vasudev took the girl, and Yasoda was left with only one child. She never knew that she also gave birth to a girl. and there was her son. Right? Now the two sons combined, the one from Mathura who appeared in the jail before Vasudev and Devaki, and now the son of Nanda and Yasoda. Nanda and Yasoda, they had also performed great austerities in a previous life as Drona and Dara. At that time, Drona and Dara used to hang in trees for a long time. So it's kind of austere to hang in a tree for a long time. But they did. They hung in a tree for a long time to perform austerities and to pray in this way. So that's interesting, because austerity, we thought, was not really one of the limbs of bhakti. And so why did they perform austerity? The other day I spoke on that topic. Austerity is not one of the 64 limbs of bhakti identified in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So why did Drona and Dara do such activity if it wasn't pure devotional service? But they connected that austerity to Krishna, because the objective of the austerity was transcendental. So then the austerity also became transcendental. Although austerity in itself is not so important, but they did it completely purely with only one desire, to have the Supreme Personality of Godhead as their son. And the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he was impressed by the purity of their desire, not by the fact that they were hanging in trees. Because one can hang in trees, and that doesn't mean that the Supreme Personality of Godhead will become your son. You can hang till, for a long, long time, until Christmas, as a decoration in the tree, and still Krishna may not appear. Because it wasn't because of that hanging, but it was because they had such a sincere desire for Krishna to appear as their son. They were ready to do anything, even hang in trees, which in itself is, sort of extreme. But they did so, and Krishna could see. They have such sincere, pure desire that Krishna appeared as their son. Yes? So in one sense, Krishna is the real son of Nanda and Yasoda, and at the same time the real son of Vasudev and Devaki. But somehow or other, externally, it was not the case. It was not known, because the two sons had merged, and it was clear that Vasudev had brought the son. But Yasoda didn't know, Nanda didn't know. And so in Mathura, Vasudev performed a birth ceremony, but because he was in jail, it was a little difficult to do. One is supposed to give in charity to the brahmanas, so he did. He gave mentally 10,000 cows to the brahmanas. In Vrindavan, Nanda also celebrated, and he also offered many cows. But because Vasudev had sent Krishna to Vrindavan, and because he was not able to perform all the proper ceremonies, like the name-giving ceremony, therefore he sent Gargamuni, the priests of the Yadus, to go and perform that ceremony for Krishna. And we remember that there Gargamuni said many interesting things. When Gargamuni came to Nanda Maharaj, Nanda Maharaj was very, very pleased. And Bhargava Muni was seated on a throne and worshipped by Nanda Maharaj. And Nanda Maharaj said, "Oh, I'm so fortunate that now a Brahmana has come to my house." So that's interesting. Even 5,000 years ago, it was exceptional when an exalted Brahmana would come to one's house. So even then, Manushyanam Sahasresu Kaschit Yatati Sadeh. Even then, one out of many, one out of thousands, it was such an exalted personality. And Bhargava Muni, of course, was a great and pure devotee. And Vasudev had sent him. And Nanda Maharaj was highly pleased to worship him and set him down on a throne. And when Bhargava Muni began to speak about Krishna, he explained that previously, this boy has also appeared in different colors, yellow, red, and blackish. And in this way, he has appeared Sukla, white, in that white form of Kapila, yes. And he has also appeared as in the red form, and he has appeared in the blackish form. And now he has appeared again. So Bhargava Muni was saying that this son would be equal in power and in qualities to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in that way, he basically said he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because the Supreme Personality of Godhead is Asamurdva. He has no equal. No one can equal him. So anyone who is equal to the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's obvious. But somehow or other, Nanda Maharaj didn't understand it. So in that way, Bhargava Muni spoke a little bit in a covered way. And he was saying, yes, here is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he said actually that Krishna would have qualities like the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And thus, the residents of Vrindavan could just simply accept Krishna as the son of Nanda. And they were saying, how amazing that Nanda and Yasoda, in their old age, that they received such a son. I mean, even in their old age, they're still having a son, and then such a son. And what kind of punya, what kind of pious activities must they have performed in previous life to so late in life get such a son? That's amazing. In this way, we see how the residents of Vrindavan were celebrating Krishna as Nanda Nandan, or Yasoda Nandan, as the son of Nanda and Yasoda. And thus, they all saw him as a resident of their village, and as a cowherd boy, and they treated him accordingly, although he was the focus of their entire activity, and all the ladies were only thinking, "Oh, if only we would have had a son like Krishna. Oh, a son like this." Actually, even the other cowherd men also, "If only we would have had a son like Krishna." So in this way, they desired it. And Krishna made all the arrangements. Krishna arranged it. That Lord Brahma was becoming a little proud on one occasion. I was thinking, you know, these residents of Vrindavan are giving so much respect to Krishna. And, well, he did perform some extraordinary activities. He did lift a hill. And it's not a small thing, a hill. But then again, you know, I mean, I am creating a whole universe, you know, hill, universe. I mean, you see the perspective, right? I hope, right? So it's kind of amazing. No, it's kind of amazing that, you know, they're giving him so much respect and that they completely forget to give due respect to other elders. You know, I mean, they're kind of overlooking me, you know. Mahaprabhu. I mean, Pita Maha, the original Brahma, you know, the grandfather, the original grandfather of the entire universe, right? Even the demigods, you know, they worship me, and some other these uneducated cowherd men, they are sort of, you know, not so philosophically developed. That's the problem, and therefore their understanding is incomplete. Let me be merciful to them. I think so. Let me be merciful to them and teach them a lesson. In this way, Lord Brahma made all the arrangements to kidnap Krishna and the calves, or the cowherd boys and the calves, sorry, not Krishna. The cowherd boys and the calves, and he put them all in a cave and sort of kept them there asleep. And yes, then he went back and just to see how this boy Krishna would be totally confused, and then everyone would understand the relationship between the two. That was his plan. And in that way, in a subtle way, he could teach his own glories without having to proclaim the glories and say, look at me, Brahma, the greatest. No. People themselves would see his greatness and would realize it. It was a brilliant and very subtle approach. And then when Brahma came back, he saw that all the cowherd boys and calves were still there. But I just took them away and put them in the cave. And then he went quickly back to the cave, and they were there. And he went back, and then they were with Krishna. And then Brahma became totally confused. And then Krishna, he manifested from all these calves and cowherd boys that were there, they became four-armed Vishnu forms. So when Brahma saw that, then he was shocked, because the penny dropped, as they say, like in a machine, you know. Click. Now you can take out what you want. The penny dropped. He realized now that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because he manifested all these four-armed forms. 1, 2, 3, 4. That means Vishnu. Thus he understood, since he was dealing with Vishnumurtis, that he was dealing with the Supreme Lord. And in this way, he became stunned, it is said. He stood there like a golden pillar. Lord Brahma is golden in color. So he stood there like a golden pillar. And it took a while before he could again speak and do anything like that. Then he offered prayers. And in this prayer, he addressed Krishna, and he said to Krishna, he said, actually, I have been born from you. I appeared from the lotus of your navel. Therefore, you are both my father and my mother. It's like, you know, I have no other father and mother than you. And it says, a mother, when the child is on her lap, you know, even when the child passes stool and urine, the mother is still not upset, right? I mean, because it's a child, a mother is never in any way disturbed, even when the child misbehaves. In this way, Lord Brahma, in his prayers, was trying to sort of get Krishna in a positive mood. So in this pastime, Krishna became for 1 year the son of all the residents of Vrindavan, because Lord Brahma operates on a different time scale. He's higher in the universe, and because there's a different time scale, therefore what was a moment for Lord Brahma became a year for the residents of Vrindavan. And during 1 year, Krishna was the son of all the residents of Vrindavan. He took their place. And they never loved their sons like that much. And for one whole year, Krishna fulfilled that desire. He became their son. And the same with the calves. The cows, they were so fond of these calves. Even when they got new calves, they still loved the older calves more. Yeah, they loved them more because Krishna was that calf. So in this way, Krishna reciprocated with the desires of the residents of Vrindavan. Each of their desires was fulfilled in ways they could not imagine, because Krishna was manipulating and playing and manifesting pastimes, and who could have imagined that Lord Brahma could steal the calves and the cowherd boys, and that Krishna could take their place? But that actually Krishna had a multi-purpose. That Krishna was fulfilling two purposes at the same time. In the nectar of devotion, Krishna is described as daksha, as very expert. It is that he's very expert, and there the definition is given of one who is very expert. It said one who is very expert can perform just many purposes with one act, right, in a very perfect way. So that's what Krishna did. With his one act, he corrected Lord Brahma's mentality, and at the same time he satisfied the residents of Vrindavan. And in this way, Krishna shows he's the personality of Godhead, and he shows us that he can fulfill all desires. No one will be left out. No detail will be forgotten. Krishna can actually also satisfy us. So it's not that we should think, oh, now I'm giving my life to this movement. I'm doing it because, you know, I became convinced by Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita. And I've given up a lot. I've given up a lot for this. No, really, I did, you know. I mean, think about it. All the things I've given up for this, for Krishna, right? So now I really hope, you know, I really hope that the spiritual world will be better in all respects than the material world, right? Because sometimes I wonder, you know, is there ice cream in the spiritual world? Sometimes I wonder, you know, I mean, do they play table tennis, you know? I mean, table tennis, you know? I mean, you know, I love table tennis. Right? I love table tennis t-shirt. And all these things, we gave them up. So many things. And will it be there in the spiritual world? I have one disciple from New York, and he said, I'll be anything but a cowherd boy, you know. I'm not going to milk cows. I forget, you know. I'm not going to milk cows. No way, you know. New Yorker, you know. Can't relate to milking cows. Yeah. I mean, is there concrete? Are there skyscrapers in the spiritual world? What about it? Eh? Oh my God, imagine you come to the spiritual world and then eternally you gotta go out with the cops and the cows and it's like, you know, and it's like, I don't know about you, you may be from a village, but I'm also from the city, and I was about 10 years old when I actually saw a real cow close up, I saw them from the car as we were driving on the highway, in the field. That I saw. But I never saw a cow close up. Yeah? When I was 10, they sent me to some holiday farm, and there was a cow close up. And then I saw that from the back, all that brown stuff came. And then it was very close to the place where the milk came from. And I didn't drink milk for a week. Oh my God, I was shocked. In my days, milk appeared in bottles, you know, now in cartons. But it was sort of like shocking to see where the milk actually came from. Oh my God. So here we are in the spiritual world. Sometimes we think, I gave up so much for Krishna consciousness, and I really hope that the happiness of Krishna consciousness will fully satisfy me. Yeah? Because, you know, other electric guitars in the spiritual world, yeah, for one thing. The other day, Nimai said, someone dressed Krishna with sunglasses. That's not proper, isn't it? And he's right. That's not proper. But sunglasses, you know what I mean? God, that's enjoyment. No sunglasses in the spiritual world. Oh, then I'm not sure if I want to go. Maybe there's something better than sunglasses, the ultimate, something greater than sunglasses. Krishna is showing the resonance of Vrindavan. Don't worry, I will fulfill your desires in ways that go beyond your imagination. We may, in a dull way, just project the material world, the best we know of the material world, upon the spiritual world, and say, pizza. You know what I'm saying? And there must be, I hope there's pizza in Golok. Probably not exactly like that. No? Oh my God. We're going to cry now. Are you sure you want to go back? Probably they don't have smelly cheese that is processed and sort of fermented. Probably not, because in a way it's a bit rotten. It tastes good though. All the desires in the spiritual world will be fulfilled beyond our imagination. So we think the best thing there is pizza. And then, once you've tasted the real thing, whatever it is, the transcendent, the origin of pizza. Pizza is the perverted reflection. It's the perverted reflection. Wait till you get the original. You never want to look at pizza again. There are games in the spiritual world that beat table tennis any time. You never will want to look at it again, Never again. Even electric guitars, there are vinas over there, And I have actually heard riffs on Ruda vinas that really came close to guitar solos. Honestly speaking, because I used to be into guitar solos and I know the schemes of the notes. And then I heard this Ruda vina, it sounded just like, well, I know those riffs. And I was like at peace in my heart, So I can peacefully leave my guitar now, because I can play Rudra Vina in the spiritual world. Or who knows, there are other Vinas or something. No worries. All our desires will be fulfilled in greater ways than all the perverted reflection that we experience here in the material world. And the best of the material world looks like bleak and nothing in comparison to the spiritual world. These kind of points we can draw out of these pastimes of Krishna dealing with Lord Brahma, Krishna dealing with the cowherd boys, or the cowherd men and cowherd women by becoming their sons. In this way, we can see how Krishna is fulfilling the desires of his devotees completely. It's impossible. You cannot become Nanda and Yasoda. No. Nanda and Yasoda are eternally Nanda and Yasoda. It's not that we can take their place. Sorry. I know you are in Vatsalya Bhav. Right? But you cannot become the mother of Krishna, because Yasoda it already is. But now we see that you can become the mother of Krishna after all, because Krishna arranges it. He just arranges it. that he takes the place of your son and then your Krishna's mother or father. And in this way. And of course, even Putana, it is said, became like Krishna's mother. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur is explaining that because Putana in a previous life was the daughter of Bali Maharaj, and when he saw this Vamana, he looked so cute, so beautiful, you know, such a beautiful brahmachari, and she was just thinking, oh, I would like him to be my son. And Maharaj, she accepted him as a son. And Krishna recognized that desire. But then later, he took everything away from Bali Maharaj by trick, by the three steps. So then she became so angry. Said, like, you know, she was first thinking, as a son, I will breastfeed him. And then she was thinking, yes, I will breastfeed him with poison. And then, so it happened. She became Putana. Putana is my name. Killing children is my game. I don't know who wrote that song. They wrote it and they made a play, and it sort of burned into my brain. Somehow or other, Putana, she gave Krishna the breast, and in Sanskrit, the word for breast is payodara, which I like. Payodara, it means basically milk container. So a breast is a milk container, just in case you have any other ideas. Payodara. And that's the Sanskrit word. So she offered her milk container to Krishna, and speared poison on the nipple, and Krishna took the poison. But what can poison do to Krishna? Poison cannot touch Krishna. Even Shiva drinks a whole ocean of poison. So, you know, the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, he can do more than drink oceans of poison. So that didn't work. The poison he took, and it had no effect. And then he drank the milk as well. And he also took her life energy. So Putana, the demoness, she died. She died. But the spirit soul became the mother of Krishna in the spiritual. And she became a doctor, a nurse. And these nurses, they also nurse Krishna. They can also breastfeed Krishna, no problem. Mother Yasoda shares that motherhood. She's, of course, the mother. But it's not like she shares it at the same time with all the other mothers in the spiritual world. So many mothers are there. So in this way, one can never become Yasoda, but one can still become Krishna's mother. So the impossible becomes possible in the spiritual world. It by far exceeds everything. Therefore, Krishna in his pastimes is coming to solidify our faith, to deepen our faith, and to bring us to the point where we really can fully rely on him. I say, see, now we're partially relying on Krishna. Yes, yes, I rely on Krishna, on chanting of the holy name. Yeah. And I also rely on my bank account and my credit card. Yeah. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. I feel totally secure. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram, Hare Hare. But when it comes to the crunch, you know, then I have my material securities at all. It's like, you know, an EU passport. Well, it's not bad. Not bad. It's better than the regular ones, right? Than the other ones. Or American passport. You know, yeah, well, you know, it's like it gives certain benefits. And one, it gives security. American passport, Swiss passport, it gives security. When you are Swiss, doesn't matter. If something happens to you, they'll send a plane. Yeah. They'll send a plane. Yeah. When you are from Montenegro, I'm not so sure what's going to happen. Yeah. You know, I don't think. No helicopters will come. You can wait for a long time. So we know this. Right? I know. I have a Dutch passport. I know it very well. You know, if I have no money, I can be anywhere in the world, and somehow or other, I get a message to the embassy, and you know, they'll send me home. Right? I'll get a ticket. No problem. I know. If something happens, they'll come. You know. Yeah. Good. So in this way, we have so many securities that we rely on. So many things we rely on. But I experienced that when I was 20, both my parents died in the same year. And it's still relatively young, because when you're 20, you're sort of independent and dependent on your parents at the same time. Right? You sort of want to be independent from your parents, but when you're in trouble, then you call them and say, I ran out of money. And they'll, you know that they'll say, how is this possible? But they'll give you something. So when they suddenly died, I really felt alone in the world, because I realized now I have no one I can call who will just give me money when I just ask for it. When I say help, I said, not my sister. She won't give. Not my brother. He won't give. You know, who in the world will now give? Now I'm alone in the world. Yes, so we rely on so many things. But Krishna performs his pastimes to show us that actually we can fully rely on him. Fully, in all respects, he will take care. He will protect us in any possible way. And all these pastimes are there to solidify and deepen our faith. That we just finally said, okay, Krishna, I will just fully trust. I'm in your care, wherever we go, whatever may happen. And we see this in great devotees. That they have this faith, this trust. We saw it also. We saw it in Srila Prabhupada, who all alone, went to preach Krishna consciousness in America at an advanced age. Not so easy. All alone to New York. I don't know if you've been to New York, but New York is such a place, right? That you wanna know where you're gonna stay in New York, yeah? Because you wanna stay in the right place. You wanna be at the right time. In the right place, and not at the wrong time in the wrong place, if you know what I'm talking about. New York is such a place. There are wrong places in New York, and you don't want to be there, and especially not at the wrong time, if you know what I mean. It's such a place. And Prabhupada went there, definitely, to the most terrible place. What worse place could you go to than the Bowery? It's a place full of darrows, right? I mean, guys who are just lying on the street and totally drunk of whatever they drink, and so on. You go to Tompkins Square Park, very romantic, to the proper tree. But somehow or other, in this Tompkins Square Park, still there are many bums are living there. And the last time I went there, they said, hey, come, we want to ask you something. I'm not going with those guys. See you later. Yeah. We want to ask you something. And you go sit with them, yeah? And next moment, they put their hands in your pockets. Hey, what you got? That's nice. No thanks, I went straight to the tree in Tompkins Square Park. And there I went to the tree. And you know, in Vrindavan we have many devotees who hug trees, and I never get myself to do it somehow or other. I'm from Holland, you know, it's a very Protestant place. You don't do things. Dutch people don't have to hug trees, you know. So I sort of like, come on, I'm not going to hug a tree. But this time in Tottenham Square Park, I thought, I'm going to hug this tree. And I did. So I hugged the tree, and then I thought, I'll pray. So what do I pray for? I said, okay, let me pray that my preaching will be successful. So I prayed. I turn around, and, you know, after the prayer, and there's a boy walking up to me, and still under the tree. And he says, what do I have to do to become a monk like you? That tree is a desire tree. And if you have any doubts about it, it is. It is. So Srila Prabhupada came. He came. And a resident of Vrindavan, he knew everything about Krishna. He knew the pastimes of Krishna. He also knew how to understand these pastimes. Not everyone in Vrindavan knows how to understand the pastimes of Krishna. They may know so many pastimes, but they don't know how to understand them properly, just like the Yadus. Not all of the Yadus knew. They all knew that Krishna was the Supreme Lord, but they did not fully understand how he was the Supreme Lord. They did not fully understand that he was Govindamani Purusham. They did not understand that Krishna appeared simultaneously in Vrindavan and in Mathura. They did not understand the pure, unalloyed devotional service of the residents of Vrindavan. But Prabhupada understood because he was one of them. He was a resident of Vrindavan. Not just a resident of the Vrindavan in Uttar Pradesh, India, but a resident of the eternal Vrindavan. And thus, Prabhupada was an associate, an eternal associate of all the eternal associates of Krishna, of the cowherd boys and the cowherd men. And Prabhupada was there from that same village, Golok Vrindavan, just as, which is no different from Boma Vrindavan. And Prabhupada, he came there to the Tonkin Square Park. And he stood there under that tree. And I don't know if the tree became a desire tree because Prabhupada was there, or if the desire tree came from Golok and just settled down there in Tonkin Square Park. I don't know. But one of the two, somehow or another, that tree is now a desire tree. And Prabhupada was there, and he gave us the Maha Mantra. And just in the Maha Mantra, everything is there. Everything is there. Golok is there. Golokir Prema Dana Harinam Sankirtana. It is said that in Vrindavan, in Madhuvan, Balaram went there to chant japa. So Balaram was chanting the holy name in Madhuvan. And while Balaram was chanting japa, he became black like Krishna. And he looked just like Krishna. Because the only difference between Balaram and Krishna is that Krishna is black and Balaram is white. Otherwise, they are the same. So as Balaram changed color, he just became Krishna. He looked like Krishna. And in this way, through japa, Balaram obtained Krishna. That is the nature of the holy name. So Prabhupada brought us Krishna in the form of the holy name. He brought us Krishna in the form of the Krishna book. He brought us Krishna in the form of Janmashtami. We'll hear from Sureshwar Prabhu about these kind of things because he was there, and about how Prabhupada celebrated Janmashtami or the Vyasa Puja or so many other such events. I think many of you have already heard, and I've also sometimes heard from Sureshwar Prabhu. In this way, we can appreciate that nowadays, you know, you get push notifications on your phone And the phone pushed a message upon me that there were 930 million people celebrating Janmashtami around the world. I don't know where they got that number from, who calculated it, and so on, but the phone pushed it upon me, and whether that's the right number or not, it's a lot, it's a billion. Let's say a billion people, and maybe it's more than a billion people, who are all somehow or other connecting to Janmashtami. On this day, anyone from India will somehow or other find a temple. Right? They'll find, on this day, wherever they are, they celebrate Janmashtami. On this day, it's a big thing. And their children will recite slokas on this day. That will be, that has been going on, I don't know, for how many generations in India. All these people will celebrate Janmashtami today. But who can? Yeah, she can do it. Next Janmashtami. See it coming. So sure, yeah. Double. Anyway, so Srila Prabhupada brought Janmashtami to us. Although Janmashtami is celebrated by a billion people all over the world, it could have come to us in another way also. It could have come to us in some other way. But Srila Prabhupada brought it to us. And that gave us the full understanding of what Janmashtami really is. And who Krishna really is. And what Vrindavan really is. And what devotional service really is. And that it can truly fulfill us to the fullest extent. And Srila Prabhupada did not just come with the message, but he came himself along with it as the living proof. Yeah? To show us that yes, it is all true. Through this process, one can become a pure devotee. And Srila Prabhupada beamed with happiness. Yeah? It's like one of the stories I like is Srila Prabhupada in Germany, and that a devotee was taking many, many pictures with a flash, and that at one point Prabhupada was, you know, all these, when you get a flash all the time at you, I know all about it, you start to see balls, you know, like in front of your eyes from the flash. So Prabhupada said, no more balls. No more balls. And then, so no more flash. So the devotee, being an expert photographer, got a slow film. Yeah. And then you don't need to flash. Got a slow film. But slow films are very sensitive. So he put it on a tripod and he was sort of with one of those cords. And it was the day before computers, so it wasn't automatically adjusting to the light. It had to be done manually. And he had a light meter. So he was measuring the light and then he had to set the camera manually on a certain strength. So he was measuring the light. And the light meter sort of, showed a certain light strength. He set the camera. Suddenly the light meter went on maximum. He looked and said, did someone turn on a light? No, it was Prabhupada. It was Prabhupada was beaming, and it was a German light meter. So this is scientific proof of Prabhupada's happiness in Krishna consciousness. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada gave us Janmashtami, and along with it, right, the understanding that this Krishna consciousness can give us complete happiness, and therefore we are very happy that today it is Janmashtami. Thank you very much.
So any questions?
I just wanted to, when you started talking about how you were wondering if they have such and such a spiritual world, I was also wondering that too when I joined in 1970, because I had a choice. That week was, I could either join the Hare Krishna movement or I could attend the Major League Baseball All-Star game. It was a big decision.
Major League All-Star Baseball game.
And then finally, after about a year in the movement, I read in Nectar Devotion that Krishna, he plays ball. And that was like epiphany, and that was like a huge, like, wow, there's hope. He plays with, well, I just said they play with Amalaki fruits.
Yeah. And sticks, so sure, I'm sure they play some sort of something like baseball. Yeah.
So I like your point that whatever we think we love here, it's unimaginably better there.
Yeah, yeah. Really all the FU is the preferred feature. Yeah, thank you. Any other questions, comments? Yes?
So, usually when we are fortunate enough to go to Vrindavan, in the holy place, of course, is Krishna Balana Mandir, and after that is Loi Bazaar, you know. So my question is, Loi Bazaar also exists in...
there are bazaars, and Krishna Prabhupada said that Krishna doesn't loiter in Loi Bazaar. So loiter means doesn't hang around. He's not hanging around in Loi Bazaar. So Prabhupada was joking like that, that Loi Bazaar is not really the place where we all cultivate our Krishna consciousness. When you're in Vrindavan, don't waste your time in Loi Bazaar. But surely they have bazaars in the spiritual world also. Yes, where you have the best of the best. That's also manifesting in a different way in the spiritual world, just like Kesi Ghat. We have Kesi Ghat, and it's a beautiful sandstone ghat with palace, and it's very nice. But Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explained that Kesi Ghat was made of jewels, and made of gold and jewels and so on. I didn't see it like that, did you? In the Govinda Lilamrita, we get descriptions of Radha Kund. Yeah? And of course, I've been to Radha Kund many times. Have you? You have been? Radha Kund? Have you been?
Yeah, I've been.
So, you have seen there are many temples there. And if you went around, and if someone who knew his way around showed you, then they will show you a tree. And it's just a branch, and they turned that branch a bit, and that was used for the swing pastimes of Radha and Krishna. Did you see that? That's there. Yeah, so, but what I didn't see is what is described in the Govinda Lilamrita, that there are four jeweled swings on the corners of Radha Kund. Yeah, those I didn't see. So that's what Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is seeing, and that is what he is describing. When Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is describing Vrindavan, it's a different Vrindavan than the one that I see. So therefore, everything will be like existing in the spiritual world beyond our imagination. Sometimes devotees will ask these kind of questions. Like one devotee asked Prabhupada, is there snow in the spiritual world? And Prabhupada said, yes, there is, but it's not cold. It's not cold. So, something must be there, an answer to Loi Bazaar. What it is, you tell me when you get there.
I'm thinking, is it possible to surprise Krishna in either in this world or in the spiritual world?
Well, there's these kind of pastimes where the cowherd boys come up from behind and they cover Krishna's eyes. And then Krishna said, and the cowherd boy says, "Guess who I am?" And Krishna said, "I am the all-pervading Supreme Personality of Godhead. I am omniscient. I know what you do, what you think. I even knew what you would think before you thought it. You think you can surprise me?" And the cowherd boy says, "I'll never play with you again." That's no fun. Therefore, in Golok, and only in Golok, there is Yoga Maya to cover the devotees who forget that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. And Krishna, although he is all-powerful, he agrees to be also covered by Yoga Maya. Therefore, Krishna actually forgets. And he really doesn't know who's covering his eyes. And when a cowherd boy says, "Open your mouth," and Krishna thinks he'll get a sweet, and it's a flower. And one shouldn't eat flowers. This is also for the cooks who cook for me. They put flowers in my salad. Anyway, so flowers, they put flowers in Krishna's mouth. He spits it out. But he doesn't know that this is going to happen because of Yoga Maya. So Yoga Maya facilitates the rasa, because rasa is what is ruling in the spiritual world. Here in the material world, what is the ultimate thing that subjects us all? It is time. There was a television series, a movie called Shangri-La, which I saw, and there was this man who found this valley in the Himalayas, and no one was getting older. So he stayed there for a long time, lived very happily, enjoyed it like heavenly planet. But then he felt separation from the people of the world, and he felt, "I should go and tell them. I should go and tell them what it's like." And then he left Shangri-La. And as he goes out, I still remember that picture of how his face was just growing old. It just grew on him like, "Oh my God, that's the material world. Everything is controlled by time here, destroyed by time. Spiritual world, everything controlled by Ras. And Yoga Maya is there to support it." So yes, even Krishna doesn't know. He doesn't. Okay, that was a little ghastly. We shouldn't end on a ghastly note, so we need one last question or something. Yes.
Maharaj, wasn't you told that young boy that asked you, what do I have to do to be a monk like you?
What did I tell him? Well, guess what? What would I tell the young boy that I met under the tree? What would I tell him? First thing I told him is chant Hare Krishna, obviously. What else are you going to tell him? And then I told him a little bit about the significance of the tree, and that it was a special place, and there was a special person named Prabhupada, right? And then his sister, came and said, "Come on, let's go. I said, "Oh, your girlfriend?" He said, "No, my sister." I said, "Okay. Well," I said, "just Google it, you know what I mean? Just Google it, you know. You just Google Krishna and you'll find Prabhupada, right? Don't worry. And check it out, you know." So I just gave him a quick introduction and let the internet do the rest at home. And I don't know, maybe one day someone will come and tell a story how I was in this park and there was, you know, suddenly this Hare Krishna and I under a tree and asked him a question and, you know, and how he became a devotee, who knows? I'm waiting for that day to come. And if it's not in this life, then surely next life. Okay, we'll end with that. Thank you so much. Shri Krishna Janmashtami Maha Mahotsava Ki Shri Prabhupada Ki Vantara Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki.